I'm Eric.
And I'm Jamie.
And this is Horoscope, a podcast for people who love horror movies.
And people who want to love them.
Jamie, I'm just going to throw some words at you, okay? I'm just going to throw some stuff.
Yes, yes.
Body horror.
Ah.
Creature feature.
Ah.
Sci-fi horror.
Good.
Everything that Jamie wanted to watch
in one movie
is now in one movie.
We're starting out strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watching Annihilation today.
We are watching Annihilation. I have no clue who directs this movie.
It is Alex Garland, who I'll tell you about in a minute.
Okay.
But you did, I would say, you gave me a treat. You gave me like a little New Year's treat.
Because
this movie was a delight to research.
Okay.
There's like a lot more practical effects in this movie than I was expecting.
Hmm.
A lot of like really cool, groundbreaking visual computer generated effects.
It's all your shit.
Yeah, it's great. And all these actors you're hearing about. And Alex Garland's like one of those guys who's like too smart for the... Like I love, there's some creators out there who are like, are smarter than me. And it's so great. Because they're like, oh, I just pulled from this and this and this. And you're like, I don't know what that is, but wow.
Here's what I know about Annihilation. I did read the plot back in the day, so I have a loose outline of the movie. Okay. This was a movie I really wanted to see in theaters, but I was like, no, I'm too chicken shit, I can't. And then, I wish I had, but then I was like, okay, I'll spoil it. So I read the Reddit threads, I read the loose plot, I watched the bear scene. Mm. If you have seen this movie, you know what I'm talking about. We'll just leave it at that. Yeah. I know it's based on a book. I know it has Natalie Portman. I know it has Oscar Isaac. I know it has Tessa Thompson in it. Soundtrack is wild. I watched the trailer yesterday.
Oh.
And I was like, I don't know what that noise is going to sound like on audio. I'm like,
can we do a clean cut?
and I think that's all I know. I know this is it's a trilogy of books.
Mm-hmm.
There was something with a weird dolphin in the end, but it's not in this movie.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Right?
I read the synopsis of all the books, but I missed that.
Vaguely, I think Oscar Isaac gets turned into a dolphin, is what I'm pretty sure.
That tracks.
Or she looks at a dolphin and it has her husband's eyes or something.
I love that.
I don't know about that. I don't know about
that's great. And then it cuts to the next trilogy where my husband's a dolphin.
My life is a dolphin wife. I don't know about that. And that's what I know about this.
I like how you started with what I know and you knew so much off the bat, which is great.
Not really. I don't know.
But yeah.
I wish I knew less. I was just going into it blind. But I don't, you know, shoulda, woulda, coulda.
It's just a few of those movies. But once we get new movies coming out, you're going to have that whole new experience.
We'll see. I know. I still feel unprepared for this somehow, even though I know what it is. So what we got? Should I read the wiki now? Oh, I'm on the Pedro Pascal wiki. Okay, I was like, what?
Just read the Pedro Pascal wiki.
Jose Pedro Balacameda Pascal is a Chilean-American actor. Anyway. That's good shit. Annihilation is a 2018 science fiction horror film written and directed by Alex Garland, based on the 2014 novel of the same name by Jeff Vandermeer. Stars Natalie Portman, Jennifer Jason Lee, I don't know who that is, Gina Rodriguez, forgot about her, Tessa Thompson, Tuva Novotny, and Oscar Isaac. The story follows a group of explorers who enter the Shimmer, which is a mysterious quarantine zone of mutating plants and animals caused by an alien presence.
Spoilers.
I did know that also.
All right, perfect. Annihilation is based off what you said, Jeff Vandermeer's book, which came out in 2014. It's the first in the Southern Reach trilogy, but followed by Authority and Acceptance. And he was initially inspired to make this book when he was going on a hike. He just likes to do these really long hikes. So he was doing a hike and he was like, hey, sci-fi horror.
What if?
Okay. And so then Paramount picked that up.
Really quickly. That's quicker than I thought. I would have thought these books had been around for a while.
Which is good to know, too, because when Alex Garland wrote the script for this movie, he only had the first book. He didn't have the other two books.
Oh, that makes sense.
So written and directed by Alex Garland, was a big writer. He did 28 Days Later, the zombie movie.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
This movie, Sunshine, which is a sci-fi movie.
Yes. I didn't know that. Wait. Okay. I want to watch Sunshine.
Perfect. Dread, the action movie.
Comic movie.
Yes.
Judge Dredd?
Yes.
Okay.
He wrote it and ghost directed it, pretty much.
Okay.
So that was technically his directorial debut, but I don't know why. Probably legal reasons he wasn't able to direct it.
Sure.
But if you look at the credits, it's like Alex Garland, what he goes on to do and what the director of Dredd went on to do.
Eric did some sick air quotes there. Some sick finger quotes.
But his official directorial debut came out in also 2014, which was Ex Machina.
That's right. Haven't seen it. Want to see it. Mm-hmm. Is it a horror movie?
No.
Okay, it's a
it kind of
movie.
Is. It's like spooky in some ways, like existential, which is a lot of his stuff. A lot of his stuff is just like, because what he said that he always works in sci-fi because sci-fi is a way for you to kind of like get big ideas out there to make them more digestible, which I think we've talked about too. Mm-hmm. How like
I love sci-fi. I read a lot of I just told Eric I don't read anymore because my brain is because
she read everything already.
No, my brain is one jelly bean. I got nothing. But when I did read a lot, I read a lot of sci-fi and a lot of like dystopian books.
Divergent.
I was thinking of how I read The Road every year for like 6 years.
How are you a different a person? Book. How are you like?
I'm the same person. No, I'm the same person. I'm the same person. It's formative. That's how I ended up here. Is I read The Road.
The Road every day.
A lot. Yeah.
So he.
This is like his wheelhouse.
So yeah, he made Ex Machina. Did like it was a silent hit. It got like Oscar nominations and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it did really well. Oscar Isaac, Domhnall Gleeson was in it, and they went off to, you know, Star Wars. And so he was contacted by Paramount to adapt the book. And so when he read it, but then he like kind of forgot it. And then he uses the term, he wrote the script using a memory of the book. So he pretty much read the book once and then like used what he remembered from the book.
So this isn't even like an adaptation. It's like an interpretation.
Yes.
Okay.
I guess that would be a good way to put it.
That's like me giving recaps.
It's a dream of the movie. I read the synopsis of all three books.
Okay.
And I can see like there's like those basic kind of points in there, but it's pretty much like a completely different story. And like all the characters, like there's only just some fundamental stuff. And when he also wrote it, he kind of took other inspirations. This film is very inspired by, in my opinion, Colorado Space by H.P. Lovecraft.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the movie, but I was like, the movie just came out. I want to see if I can handle this, and then maybe we can watch Color Out of Space someday. I don't know, like that, like the thing, like same energy.
Let's do thing, and then we can get to Color Out of Space.
Yeah, I know. I'm
Let's
not,
see a deformed dog looking... before we see a deformed llama.
Oh.
Or alpaca, sorry. Oh. He was also inspired by the movie Soccer, which is this Russian movie that I was thinking about watching, but then I realized it was 3 hours long and did not watch it, but I read the synopsis.
Cool, Eric.
Cool. You come here for the content that we didn't do, you know?
Cool.
And Alan Moore's Swamp Thing. He's a big comic book guy.
Okay.
Which also ties into the concept artist who did all the concept art for this movie. Is a comic book artist named Jock. So
sick.
I was like looking at the concept art. I'm like, this looks familiar. And I was like, oh, that's right.
Yeah. Wow.
Because
you're a big fucking nerd. That's why.
Thank you. But yeah, he seemed, from when I watched all the behind-the-scenes stuff for this movie, it seemed like everybody enjoyed working with him. A lot of people wanted, like, Natalie Portman got into this movie because she saw Ex Machina. Same with Tessa Thompson.
Nice.
And they wanted to walk, like, they wanted
to work
with
him. It's like The Lighthouse.
Yeah, yeah, exactly that.
Cool.
I mean, I would want to work with him. He's the stuff that he presents and, like, how he executes it is very creative and, nice. I think, good.
Okay.
So he put the cast together. Oscar Isaac was filming Last Jedi at the same exact time as this movie, so he'd, like, walk between sets.
What? Where were they filming? In the same space?
I think the shooting location for this, in some parts, were filmed in Windsor Park in the UK.
Okay.
Like right next to the castle, or whatever you call it.
In they got London?
There. Yeah.
Okay.
Which they made look like a Florida swamp.
Weird.
Right, yeah. I was like, okay, cool. And they're like, yeah, it wasn't that far. Which is great to hear when you like think about some of those other movies where like, yeah, we filmed in isolation.
Yeah, it's like you didn't have to.
6 hours away. They're like, no, we just filmed in the backyard.
The meadow and Twilight. They're like, no, well, no.
Ding, ding, ding. Twilight, first Twilight reference of the year.
How are they going to know? They're going to know. How long did they film this?
For 4 months, but it's broken up. It seems like they kind of stopped and went.
Because Oscar Isaac is like a supporting role in this movie, right? Is he in a coma?
No. He's not in a coma.
He's not a little coma bitch?
He's not a little coma bitch.
What?
Yeah. Maybe he will be. You'll find out. Okay. Maybe he transforms into the coma bitch by the end of the movie.
I see. Okay.
That's the big reveal. He worked with the same special effects team on Ex Machina, which was kind of like a small crew, and that's they won an Oscar for that.
Nice.
And then they have like a lot of practical effects in this than I was expecting. This guy is very smart. Mm-hmm. It makes you understand how much some people in Hollywood don't understand how practical effects work. But watching the behind the scenes, like everything the effects team were talking about and what Alex Garland were talking about, like they understood.
Oh, that's
nice. They pretty much built all this stuff and then like CGI replaced it all.
That's so sick. That's what I'd like to hear.
Right. Yeah. So it looks great. There's a lot of like flair to it, a lot of flavor mm-hmm. throughout it.
I heard the sound design's like nuts for this movie.
Yeah.
Did you see this in theaters? When did you see it?
I did see it in theaters.
How was that?
It was great. Because
like crazy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, one, I had the experience of not knowing anything about this movie other than Natalie Portman, Alex Garland.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Sci-fi horror thing. And seen in theaters and with like the sound design, like especially towards some parts, which we'll see. I don't think we're going to be able to capture that same experience.
Probably not. That blowing have, like, your wall system. Down. Well, I saw people on Reddit said that theaters had instructions to turn the sound up at the end. So like the room was shaking is what they said.
Damn.
They're probably being dramatic, but they said they like cranked the sound at the end, so it's just like this weird crazy thing happening.
Sorry, this reminds me, side note, worst movie to ever see in theaters, A Quiet Place. Why would you want to watch a movie that is completely silent in a theater full of people and having other movies playing next door?
That's so funny. Oh no, we have to watch that. That has to be this year, right? We gotta watch it.
Yeah, sure. We just have to be quiet while we watch it.
Yeah, okay. No talking.
So concept artist was Jock. The same composers again who worked on Ex Machina. It seems that they were even talking about it. Like, Alex Garland has his people. He's pretty much worked with the same people for like decades at this point.
It's cruel.
He's got the same special effects artists, same composers.
His motherfucking clique.
So it just seems like a beautiful little world that they exist in.
Nice. Well, we all love that job security.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
So, is there anything else you want to know before we get into this movie?
Anything I should be worried about?
There's body horror.
Yeah.
This is going to be Jamie's first
plant body horror, right?
Oh, you hate plant stuff, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, there is a plant thing. There's an animal thing. There's two animal things.
I know what the one is. Is it a deer?
There's a deer.
Was a deer? Is that the thing you're talking about?
No.
There's the bear and what else?
An alligator.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm pro gator.
Okay. Hell yeah.
We'll see.
some actual physical body horror.
Yeah. Oh, I want to shout out before I forget. Okay, so one of my favorite musicians, Sean Bonnet, made a parody. Not a parody. Parody, every time I hear parody, I think of Weird Al. Not that. But he took another song and he made it about Annihilation. We'll put it in the show notes. It's very cute and good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's his favorite movie.
Oh, mm-hmm. There we go. So you have one more thing in common if you like this movie. No parody.
We'll see.
Let's get annihilated.
Okay, great.
Hey y'all, it is time for the content warnings for Annihilation. This movie and our discussion go over self-harm, suicide, cancer, unreality, a lot of body horror. Look, I'm telling you, a lot of body horror and a decent amount of gory moments in the film. Also, we ended up spoiling the movie Life. We spoiled the ending at around the 1 hour and 3 minute mark. Our bad. We might end up watching it on the pod someday, but if you are avoiding spoilers for that film, skip a minute or two there. Just wanted to say as well, so those content warnings aside, this movie is really triggering and it can do a good job at firing up the old intrusive thought machine, which is another fun name for my brain, hopefully not yours. If it is yours, just take care watching Annihilation. It's our job and your job to make the world a little less horrific however we can, so this week we want to highlight the Henrietta Lacks Foundation. In a flashback in the movie, our protagonist is reading a book, and I immediately recognize the title as The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks, written by Rebecca Skloot. The foundation was actually established by the author, and it's dedicated to helping individuals who have made important contributions to scientific research without personally benefiting from those contributions, particularly those used in research without their knowledge or consent. This is taken directly from the website, and we thought it was important to share. So the foundation is inspired by the life of Henrietta Lacks, whose cancer cells were taken without her knowledge in 1951. They became one of the most important tools in medicine, with damaging consequences for her family, many of whom often struggled to get access to the very healthcare advances their mother's cells helped make possible. Unfortunately, there are numerous examples of historic research studies conducted on individuals, particularly within minority communities, without their knowledge or consent. The Henrietta Lacks Foundation seeks to provide assistance to individuals and their families who have been directly impacted by such research. If you are enjoying the show, consider donating or reading some more about Henrietta Lacks. We'll link to more information in the show notes. And we just wanted to say, hey, if you're listening to this, thank you for joining us for season 2 of Horoscope. We're really happy to have you here. Thank you for listening. Let's get into it.
There is like so much in this movie that I feel like I cannot jump too deeply into. Maybe I will be able to now, but watching it, I was like, I was like, I just cannot think about it more than the movie is presenting. Does that make sense? I cannot watch this movie in a normal Jamie fashion. I cannot do it because it is like fucking, it will fuck me up. All right. I'm not doing that.
All right.
But I'm interested to hear about it and think about it more. But I want to unsee all images from this movie. It's like in Parks and Rec when they're like, delete all pictures of Ron. That's how I feel about this movie right now. Mm-hmm. And that's my review so far.
There we do. And that's the end of our episode. Thank you as always.
What? So you, I know I have to summarize it, but you said you saw this movie in theaters and you were delighted?
Yeah.
What? Because it's good?
Yeah.
It is good.
I was crazy. Again, like I think the definition of delighted isn't necessarily the best word for it, but it was the word that I felt while watching it. Because delight comes with a movie that also like gets to me. Like the bear sequence where I'm just like, oh man, that is so fucked up and unique and creative and original, and it's delightful. I love that it's doing this to me.
I see. But you weren't left feeling like elated. You were left feeling like that was like captivated.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like I think it's like I am delighted by the movie, but the movie is not delightful.
That is a great way to put it. Yeah. Delightful this was not, but it is, it's like, I would use the word engrossing also. Mm. That seems like an appropriate cancer cell word.
Yeah.
Okay. It's recap time. I took notes. New year, new me again.
Most thorough notes I've seen Jamie take since the beginning of the podcast.
Yeah, I kind of gave up on it halfway through last year, but this year we are trying. And this movie is pretty complicated.
Mm.
So bear with me.
Good luck.
It opens up with Natalie Portman in her room and a guy, what is that actor's name?
Benedict Wong.
Okay.
Who was in Doctor Strange with Benedict Cumberbatch, the Band of Benedict.
A lot of Bens. I like that actor a lot. I like his face. he's in like a complete hazmat suit, and there's a ton of people looking at her, and Natalie Portman is in weird white scrubs, and he asks her what happened, and she says she doesn't know. They go through a list of other people. They're like, where is she? Where is she? Where is she? Dead. I don't know.
Natalie's really like a surrogate for the audience in the very beginning.
Yeah, same. I'm like, me neither, girl. And then we have a cut of a lighthouse that gets hit with a meteor. And then it cuts to a classroom where Natalie Portman's character, Lena, who I will call Natalie Portman and Lena both, I know this already, preemptively. She's a teacher at Johns Hopkins. And she is a biology teacher, and they're talking about cells. And the intro is with cancer, and Eric's like, ooh, a classroom! And I was like, a classroom indeed! I said, not the soundtrack I was expecting, because there's Crosby, Stills, and Nash, like, primarily used in the movie, which I really enjoyed. I think the soundtrack was one of my favorite parts. Yeah, that was, like, a weird, cool motif. And we get a flashback. Oh, she talks to a colleague, and he invites her over for a picnic with his wife or a barbecue or whatever. And she's like, no, I'm not going. And he says, you can't. It's been almost a year. You can't keep mourning him or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, I'm painting my bedroom. Bye. And then she's back in her house. She's looking at a locket. She's crying. We have a cute flashback of the dead spouse montage where they're like,
which is the name of my new post-hardcore band.
Hard stuff to that. They're like cute dead montage making out. They're in love, blah, blah. She's crying. She's painting their bedroom. Someone walks into the house, looks at their wedding pictures, walks up the stairs. It's Oscar Isaac, who is her husband.
And that's when the audience starts cheering as he enters.
Yeah, yeah! It's like a sitcom. Like, who's this? His name is Kane, and he is there. And he's standing.
Huh? His name is Kane. Do you get it?
Citizen Kane?
Kane and Abel.
Oh, interesting. Was someone else named Abel?
No.
Oh, that would have been a little obvious, huh? I would have picked up on it.
I guess. I don't know. Jamie picked up on a book she was reading that was just like, it's like everything is just like a reference to the thing that they are.
I just know. Anyway, okay. Yeah. So I wrote down Doppelhusband. Doppelhusband confirmed. He's like standing there like the man emoji, basically.
I'm pretty sure there is a Doppel Robert Pattinson because he's standing exactly like
Robert Pattinson stance. And she like hugs him and looks at him, and then they're talking, and you find out that they were both in the military. You could see pictures of them in the military. And she asks him where he's been. He says he can't tell her. He doesn't know. Much like her questioning at the beginning of the movie. And what happens? She goes to hold his hand, and then something weird happens with his hand, and then she moves her hands away from him.
I think he just moves his hand
away. Oh, he says, he says is, I said, I recognized you. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, weird, and she moves her hand away, and then he takes a drink of water. Blood comes out of his mouth into the water. He starts coughing up blood. Hard cut to an ambulance. They're like, male 31, seizure, blood, spitting blood. She's like, oh God, this sucks. And then what happened to that paramedic?
He's fine.
Who knows? government black vans pull up and start wee-woo-wee-wooing. And he's like, did you call a police escort to Lena? And she's like, no, I didn't. And then they cut in front of them. Oscar Isaac gets dragged out of there. He's having a seizure. He's spitting blood everywhere. They grab her. She's screaming. She gets tranked in the neck. Why? Worst case scenario. She wakes up. She's in a cell. She's in scrubs. She wants a lawyer. Does not get a lawyer. She's talking to a doctor, Dr. Ventress. And they are somewhere called Area X.
Yeah.
Area X. I gotta zoom farther out here. Okay. For that last scene I just described, all I wrote down was, oh my God, because it's just like crazy. She's like having a seizure, spitting blood everywhere. They are in a government area, and this is the first time we see the shimmer, which looks like a big iridescent like oil spill or like a soap bubble.
Perfectly described. Yeah, they described it like oil and water.
So smart. Okay, I just have eyeballs. I just saw it. Like, it's not that smart. And she talks to Dr. Ventress, who is a psychologist, and she is the one who chooses the teams to go out. And then she says, well, what are we going to do with you? And Natalie Portman's like, I'll be able to help him. And her husband is now like in a coma. Not her husband. Kane, the being formerly known as Kane, is in a coma and is not doing well. He's dying. So she's like, okay, I'm going to go in there. Or not. She says she wants to help. So she sticks around. She ends up meeting other professionals. So our team, our hottie squad, as we called them, there is a blonde white lady named Shepherd, who is a physicist. Geothermologist or something. Go. Okay. Ventress is the psychologist. Tessa Thompson, her name is Josie Radek. She's a physicist. She just got off of her Yale, whatever. And then Gina Rodriguez, her name is Anya Thorensen, and she is a paramedic who was, she said she applied for a GMO. What is that?
Military stuff.
She said she's a paramedic in the military. And then Natalie Portman is our biologist soldier. Badass lady.
Bio soldier.
Yeah. And they're like, Anya hits on Natalie Portman. She's like, I got to shoot my shot before we go. And she's like, before what? And they're like, before we go in there, we're all going in there. She's like, a team of women? And she's like, a team of scientists. That was weird. I was like, okay. But they are going in, and Dr. Ventress is leading them. So they go in to the bubble, and they are in the shimmer. And then
the dirty bubble.
And then you can't. No SpongeBob references, Eric. I gotta get through.
Then you delete some of my notes.
I'm in my shimmer. I gotta. Okay, so Natalie Portman has a flashback. She's having sex with someone, not her husband, and then she wakes up in what we described both as a cute tent. And then she is disoriented, and they're like, yeah, no shit, we're all disoriented, and they're missing enough food to have been in there for 4 days, but they lost track of time.
Just a wild shroom trip in the woods, you know?
Yeah, everyone lost track of time. Oh my God, could you imagine watching this movie high?
Sounds great.
Does not sound great. Does not sound great. That sounds really bad. I'm sure someone's done it.
If I did that with my room with a mirror, it would end up with me just like mimicking my movements in the mirror.
You're like,
Riley walks past, I'm like pressed against the mirror.
Eric Eric has a mirrored closet in here, is what we're talking about. Don't do that, please. As soon as I leave, you're like, okay.
We got rented for 24 hours.
Oh my god. Okay. So she's having an affair. We find out she's having an affair with her colleague who she was speaking with at the beginning of the movie. I also now have written down Gator Cam. There's a pretty good jump scare, which is ruined by the subtitles. They find flowers. The flowers are all growing out of the same thing, but it's different types of flowers. Tessa Thompson is pulled into a like submerged house. We're in Florida also. We're in like...
Back it up. We're in Florida, by the way.
We're in like hellscape, dreamscape, Florida. We're in Bjork's Florida, okay? That's what we're in. Bjork's That has to be the name of the episode.
Yes. She walked by the, like, is that Bjork? And then she's wearing the swan dress. But then the swan dress like looks at them.
Oh, you seen those music? I'm talking about a specific album. What is that album called? I gotta look it up. I love this album, but I just don't remember. Yes. You know the one I'm talking about.
The one.
Bjork.
The Annihilation album.
Albums. Yeah. Utopia? Is that the name of the album? Yes. It's
the one where it's like her face, like,
yes, I listened to that album a lot last year. Yes, Utopia. It's from 2017. A lot of the music videos just look like this. So we're in Bjork's Florida. There's a giant big ass gator that tries to eat Tessa Thompson. They shoot at it and then they end up killing it. They brought enough food to travel, but they brought a lot of guns.
Love gun. Very pro gun movie.
Yeah. I mean, all. Literally every situation. I think guns exist for survival situations, and every horror movie is a survival situation. Fight
a shader or a gark, as we called them.
Their goal also is to go to the lighthouse. We didn't say that. That is their goal.
A real inverse lighthouse movie.
Yeah.
And the lighthouse, they're trying to leave the lighthouse. This one's trying to get to the lighthouse.
Anyway. Okay, so Gator Shark has shark teeth, and they're like, that's not possible. How could they crossbreed over stuff? Who knows? We also see that when we flash forward, so we're flashing forward to the quarantine interrogation explanation room with Natalie Portman and the scrubs, and then we're flashing back. She has a bruise forming on her arm after the gator, and she's like, oh, must be the gator, but she has a tattoo in the present of an Ouroboros. Yes.
Which also was on the arm
of
Gina Rodriguez.
Okay, before?
Gina Rodriguez has had that tattoo. And then Natalie Portman has that tattoo.
So she had it before they went into the... Before they went into Gina, the yes, shimmer.
Natalie, no.
Okay, so they're like combining while they're
it's
in
the
there.
It's the refraction. It's the same reason
yes,
with
okay.
the accent.
Oh, whose accent was that?
Probably one of his other
ones. Oh, shit. They're okay, kind of just like okay, morphing. Okay. Did you figure that out when you were watching it?
Yeah.
Okay. How long did it take you to figure that out?
I think on my first watch.
Wow. Okay. Brag. So she has a tattoo. They are canoeing around, and she has a conversation with one of the other women that is important with Shepherd. Shepherd lost a daughter to cancer. Gina Rodriguez used to be an addict, and she is now sober. And Tessa Thompson's character... self-harmed a lot, so she covers her arms at all times. They don't know what's wrong with Ventress. And they end up going, this is where my notes get very short. Ooh. They end up going to a bunker. They find like a bunker in like a cafeteria. Oh, this is the military branch.
This was the original like Area X base.
That's right. Before I got taken out. Interesting. Okay. Ooh. Okay. So they find a bunker and they find names. Also, Natalie Portman, AKA Lena, has not told the other scientists that her husband was in there. Did I say that her husband was even in there? I didn't even say
now
that.
Now you have.
Oh, no.
Her husband was in there.
He done gone in there. Wow. They probably figured it out. I'll listen back. We'll see.
And he wouldn't.
No, like the Arrested Development voice, like they did not understand. okay, so there's names and there's names that are crossed out. And then they find a an SD card. And then they put it in a camera. They're not able to transmit communications in or out of their area, so they're not able to contact people outside, but the tech still works, and they watch a video of Oscar Isaac fucking slitting this dude's stomach open, his colleague, I guess, and you can see his intestines moving like a worm. It is horrible. It is horrible. Everyone freaks out. And the running theory outside of the Shimmer is that either everyone in there dies or everyone in there goes crazy and kills themselves. Did the bear happen before this? Like, no, it right happens after. That night. Because
okay. They go to the pool, yes, they find the body.
Yes, okay. They go to a pool, they find a body, they find like a weird, hole, like into something, but they don't go in it, right?
It's not into something. It's like, that was the guy's body that they cut open.
Oh, okay.
And his body just like mutated.
Got it. Okay, so there's like a skull. It looks like it's crazy. Look at our Instagram. We'll post behind the scenes. It's hard to, like, how do you explain that? There's like a skull. It's like a big weird tumor growth flower spore thing.
You did it.
Yeah, Bjork. It. Bjork's album Utopia. Understandably, they are upset. Ventress is still like, okay, we are pressing forward. They stay there. Tessa Thompson's like, hey, I don't want to stay here tonight. And it's like, that is valid, but we are staying here tonight. And then Natalie Portman wakes up to go take over watch. She has a conversation with Shepherd, who is the woman who lost her daughter. And, she goes to take watch from Ventress. Her and Ventress have a conversation where they're talking about why. They're talking about, like, suicide. I didn't catch it because we were talking over it a little bit. But they were talking about suicide and they were talking about how people are driven by impulse and, like, people drink and they ruin their lives and they ruin their good marriages. And then she, like, looks at her and Natalie Portman's like, ugh.
And then she's like, I really hope a deformed bear shows up right now to get me out of this conversation.
And then she says, she says that you probably know better than I do. You're a biologist. Like, you can explain it. Isn't that baked into our cells, basically? There's also a line that I wanted to point out. They were wondering why Ventress was there in the first place when Shepherd was walking her through why all the other women were fucked up. And she said she's like, no partner, no family, no friends, no kids, no concession in her at all. Which I think is, like, the most metal thing I've heard in my life. I wrote it down. It's fucking rad. Okay, so watchtower, hear a weird noise. Shepherd wakes up. She runs out. A giant bear thing jumps out like fucking Jaws and grabs Shepherd. And Shepherd is screaming, help me, help me, help me. Gone. She's gone. Next day, Gina Rodriguez is fucking pissed. She's like, we're going back. And they're like, well, we've been here 6 days, and it's 2 days to the edge of the rim, so we might as well keep going. This is Natalie Portman's logic. And Gina Rodriguez is like, are you fucking with me? Like, is this a plan to get us further in instead of turning back? Because Ventress is like, I'm going no matter what. I'm going to the lighthouse. And she's like, Gina Rodriguez, I keep saying she. Gina Rodriguez is like, we already have enough data. We have more information than anyone else has ever had. And she's like, well, we still don't know why, so I'm going. So Ventress leaves. Gina Rodriguez is scared out of her mind, obviously. Tessa Thompson is also very scared. And then they keep going. So they end up at a house and they find these like plant formations that look like people. Just like complete, they look like topiaries, kind of, right? That's, I guess, the best way to describe it. And then Tessa Thompson figures out, she's a physicist, she figures out that it's people cells, right?
Yeah.
People cells.
That's
the way like, how's that happening? And she's like, it's refracting. Everything in here is refracting on itself, and it's all the cells are the same. Mm. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Natalie Portman also looks at her own blood, and her blood is splitting, and it looks like the Shimmer. Mm. So it's already in her. Great. Also, we see Gina Rodriguez's pupils do this like light thing that also looks like the Shimmer. Mm. Very briefly. It was like weird. It was like a quick second. So then they are in a house. There's another flashback. We find out that Natalie Portman, I feel bad just saying their names, but there's too many.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Okay. Natalie Portman, her husband left early. Cade left early and, he knew about the affair basically. Right. So he like found out about the affair and he left early. Mm-hmm. He says he weirdly is like, I do love you, Lena. It's very cold, and then he leaves, and she's like, oh, fuck. And then we find out with the guy she's having the affair with, they have a conversation. And that is a flashback, but she's woken up by a very angry Gina Rodriguez, who Ty's, who's like, you're a fucking liar. And she has her locket with Kane in it. So there's a picture of him. Mm-hmm. So she ties everybody up.
A picture of Kane, not the actual physical Kane. Is that
yes, yeah, it's a picture.
Which of Kane, could be yes. possible within this movie, let's be real. Like, a tiny little Kane.
Me and my tiny horse. Okay, so she has them all tied up. Their mouths are covered. Gina Rodriguez has McFucking lost it. And I don't blame her. Mm-hmm. She's like, okay, so the running theory is everyone either went crazy or they were killed by something else. She's like, it makes sense that the first theory works. Like, we were being killed by something, but no one saw it besides Ventress and Natalie Portman. So, and she knows that Ventress already knew about Natalie Portman's connection. So she's like, you guys are teaming up and you're fucking killing people. And they're like, you killed Cass, who is Shepherd. And she says, she's like, do you know to Tessa Thompson? And Tessa Thompson does not know. And amazing, like one of the worst parts of the movie, she says that she can feel her fingerprints moving. Mm. And she says, if you cut me open, like the way that her husband cut open that guy. Gina Rodriguez was like, he went fucking crazy. Like, he went crazy and he cut him open and it was a trick of the light. Like, she wouldn't believe it. But she says, if you cut me open, would you see my insides are moving? Mm-hmm. And then she says, well, I'm not the one tied up. And she's a knife and she goes towards Natalie Portman. And I was like, oh, fuck. Literally, how could this get worse? It could get worse. Because you hear Shepherd screaming, help me. And Gina Rodriguez is like, oh, she's still alive. You said she was dead. Oh, they found her body earlier. Mm. Fine. They found her body and her throat was ripped out. They found Shepherd's body. Her throat was ripped out. Gina Rodriguez runs off to go help. The other women are still tied up. They get untied up. And then literally, yes, they get kind of untied up. She gets her mouth free.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They are getting out of their bonds, but then we hear like a noise, like a Gina Rodriguez, not a good noise, not a promising noise.
A Wilhelm scream, if you will.
Yes. Gina Rodriguez scream. And then in walks a bear, the artist formerly known as a bear. It is like this huge thing. It has, can you help me like describe this thing, please?
Well, the entrance in my mind is like a WWE entrance.
Stop.
Like, if you're coming in and then it's just like walking down the hallway, you're like, what the fuck is this thing?
Literally.
It's like, I'm like nightmare fuel. You're like, thank you. Wow. So it's like a malnourished bear. So the bear's skin is mostly showing. It's like got patchworks of hair.
Yeah.
And then its face is mostly a skull, but then on one half of its face, it has a human skull on it.
Yes.
Where like, and then it kind of meets up with the human skull and the bear skull meet up on like one eye socket. So it shares an eye socket.
Okay.
And so it's like mouth kind of morphs into a human mouth.
Here is something, fun fact about me. I think if I was in a genre of any horror movie, this, I would probably be most successful in anything like Lovecraftian. Mm. Because I am not visual and I cannot fucking understand what I'm looking at.
So you're like, oh, it's unspeakable horror. Like, literally, I can't.
Literally, I'm like, I can't fucking tell what that is. I am not a visual thinker. I am really bad at spatial thinking. So I was like, I don't know what that is. Mm-hmm. So I'd be fine, is what I'm saying.
Do you want to see a photo?
Yeah.
You don't have to. You can say no to
it. Yeah, I'll see it. Show me the bear. Oh, that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't notice that.
When I was doing research, I found that photo, quickly uploaded it into the drive, and said, I hate it out loud.
So. Yeah. We'll post that with a big old warning on it.
At the end.
Big old warning. So the bear is screaming, and it is using her voice. It is using Shepherd's voice. I did know this scene was coming. Wow, it was worse than expected.
Really?
Yeah.
Even though you've seen
the
before.
Context. Okay. I don't know. I didn't know what it was. I was like, I don't know what that is. And everyone on Reddit was like, oh my god, it's her, but it's not. It's like, okay, but what does that mean? And now I know what it means.
Yeah.
That, whatever that sound design effect was incredible. Like, making that, it's like a bear, it's awful. It's awful. I can't explain it.
It's making a roar noise, but the roar is a human voice. It is somehow, like, both simultaneously doing the same thing that a roar sound effect would do, but is able to transmit a full sentence.
Yes, it's like screaming, and it's like playing a voice screaming, help me. It sucks. So, bear is just snooping around, and they're like, don't react. And then it starts slowly biting into Tessa Thompson. And then Gina Rodriguez, like the fucking babe hero she is, gets up the stairs. She is not looking good. She starts shooting it with her big gun, and then it starts running towards her. She shoots at it. Then it knocks her down, rips her face off, like half of her face off. You see her like face get ripped off. It's not great. And then it goes after Natalie Portman, but then Tessa Thompson's able to take it down. That's what happens, right?
Yeah.
And the music starts playing. The music starts, it like, the beat drops. And I was like, oh no, because we don't have a lot of music up until this point.
It's mostly not, just like nice little guitars.
Yeah, guitar instrumental, but then it's like, oh no, shit's going down. And I was like, ah! And then Bear is dead. So, oof. Ventress, Dr. Ventress is like, I'm leaving. Bye. I'm going to go find the lighthouse. I am not... She says, if I don't go now, I'm not going to finish this as the same person who started it. And I want to be the one who started it. And when it cuts back to the Natalie Portman interview, we find out that Ventress has terminal cancer. So this happened a little bit earlier, but the guy interrogating her is like, you knew it wasn't good. Why would you keep going? Like, you both had all... I was like, this is not the kind of mission you need to have an ulterior motive on. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no. Because she's like, I want to find out what happened to my husband. She's like, I just want to find out, period. I'm going to die anyway. And then these three other women are like, I actually have a full life, maybe. Not really. I guess that's the whole point.
They're all on, like, a suicide mission.
So. Yeah. So, what happens now? This is the part I thought was going to be really bad, but it was fine. Tessa Thompson is outside. It is the morning. Natalie Portman's like, we should leave. And Tessa Thompson's like, what does she say? She's like, okay, so... Oh, she explains it a little bit. So when we found Shepard's body, her throat was ripped out. So she says that the assumption is that the bear creature absorbed her, but the part of her that was screaming and dying and in pain, and that part is now morphed with the bear. And it was using her voice. So that's the worst concept ever. And she's like, I don't want that. Good call. Yeah, that makes sense to me.
She's the first one to be like, hey, wait, I can choose my refraction?
Yeah, I'm going to do something else. And then Natalie Portman's like, uh-oh. And then we see grass growing out of her hand, which reminded me of the Midsommar visual. It's like the exact same visual. Yeah. And then we see her walking towards the other topiary people. And then we see like plants coming out of her body. It was beautiful. It wasn't bad at all. It was fine. I thought it was going to be horrible. Like, I do not like treeple.
Okay, yeah.
I was really worried about that. It was totally fine.
So... In this very, very specific context, Jamie, what's a scarier movie, Troll 2 or Annihilation?
Anyway.
So, you heard it, guys.
One has Eric's Italian accent and one does not. So what does that mean?
We can change.
She ends up, you don't know who she is anymore. She is one of the treeple. She's donezo. And then Natalie Portman, hard cut to her screaming and crying in the jungle. And then she goes out. She makes it to the coast. What?
In the jungle.
Okay. So she makes it. She makes it to the beach. She has her gun. And that is all. And she goes into the lighthouse. And the lighthouse is like half taken over with like organisms.
It almost looks like coral.
Yeah. It looks like coral. And there's like a weird... Just a bunch of weird, some weird bad shit happened here. There's a bunch of human skulls all lined up. There's like bones.
Are you talking about the trees too? Was that what you were referencing?
No, oh. I'm talking about the weird torsos. There was like weird torsos, like humans that were separated, that had been separated.
I think that was like his team.
Yes, that's Oscar what I thought as well. Man. Okay. And then there's like weird crystal, like they look like rock candy, basically. Like weird crystal tree things. So then she goes into the lighthouse. And she sees a body that is like smoked, like a charred remains of someone, and like a big explosion splat on the wall, basically. And then there's like a hole into somewhere. And she watches what happens first. She goes in first.
Watches.
There's a video camera. There's a camcorder just set up. And she watches, and there's footage.
Jamie, listen, with the YouTube algorithm, you got to upload daily. So you got to make those vlogs.
If you're not utilizing Instagram Reels, what are you doing?
Right.
So there's, like, sandy beach. There's skulls. It's like a weird home movie. And then it cuts to Oscar Isaac setting the camera up, and he goes and sits against the wall. And he is speaking, and he says he used to be Cain. He's not him anymore. What was he ever? Is he you?
He's got a southern accent.
And he has a southern accent. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? And then he says, if you get out of here, find Lena. Mm. And then you hear, I will, in normal Oscar Isaac voice. And you're like, what? He's like, have you ever seen a phosphorus grenade? And then he pulls the pin on a grenade and blows himself up.
I don't know. That line's cool to me.
You're like, fuck yeah!
You're like, have you ever seen a phosphorus grenade before? And then like,
he just blows himself up and he's like, shield your eyes, my friend. I wanna watch that fucking movie. They should just make another
Oscar
movie.
Oscar and Oscar?
No, his deal was, because he was in there a long time.
Yeah.
He was in there way longer than her. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Like twice the amount of time. So yeah. I want to know what happened to them. It's probably not in the book. And then we walks into frame.
He turns into a dolphin.
I want to know about the dolphin thing. Onto the camera walks double husband, Oscar Isaac, who has his hair in the same way that he had it in the beginning. So we know that this is the man that Lena saw on the outside world. She is horrified.
To be specific with the hair thing, it's the classic when it's like the evil twin villain. It's either give him a mustache or you slick back their hair.
Oh my god, if he had a mustache, that would be so funny. You're like, you grew a mustache and you're gone. Yeah.
Oh. I was in there for a while. It's like, but not a full beard.
They're like, we're making human improvements. We are making humans better. Okay, so Natalie Portman is obviously horrified. What do you do when you're horrified? You go into the hole. So she goes into the hole. And the hole... I think she hears Ventress first, right?
She hears her screaming.
Yes. Okay. And she goes into the hole. And the hole is moving and it is pulsating and it is a big butt. And I did not want to be in the hole. Did not want to be in the hole. It has like tendons. It's like we're in the heart of this thing, basically, is what I got. And Ventress is there. We don't really see her eyes. So I was like, God, her eyes are going to be fucked up or something, right? Because she's like talking. She does a crazy monologue.
We spoke. What was it we said? That I needed to know what was inside the lighthouse. That moment's passed. It's inside me now.
What's inside you?
It's not like us. It's unlike us. I don't know what it wants. Or if it wants. But it will grow until it encompasses everything. Our bodies and our minds will be fragmented into their smallest parts until not one part remains. Annihilation.
Insane monologue. I cannot, maybe I'll cut it back in, but like,
she does have like one of my favorite lines in the movie, which is, I don't know what it wants. I don't know if it wants.
Yeah.
Which is
cool. And then she says annihilation.
Yeah.
She says it's gonna combine and refract everything until there is nothing at all.
Which is
everything is the one same thing.
Cut to what that looks like.
Yeah. And then she, Avatar The Last Airbender style, gets her bending taken away. Like, she opens her mouth and just, like, light comes out of her mouth and her eyes and she's screaming and her arms. And then she shrinks up and then she turns into, like, a sun. And then there is weird phosphorescent light cells floating around. And then it turns into this, like, cube thing that's floating. This was the worst part of the movie, in my opinion. I was just like, ugh! Just, like, a huge sense of just, like, like, whatever is that?
By that's her not good. Or by the alien?
Whatever. When Natalie Portman was looking into this cube thing, I was just like, no, 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 no. Yeah. She's, like, looking into this thing, and then a little drop of blood pulls out of her skin and goes in and starts splitting and splitting and splitting and splitting. And then there is a person. When Natalie, she, like, stumbled away, and then there is a person that is, like, made out of, it's, like, it looks like obsidian, kind of. It is a person-shaped shimmer, basically. Mm-hmm. And then Natalie Portman shoots her gun at it a lot. That doesn't work. And then bullets, like, come off of it, like little tentacles, like little Doc Ock tentacles. And then, like, reabsorb, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then she starts running out. She's like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. She gets up out of the thing, and then she's up in the lighthouse lobby, and the thing is already there. and it starts mirroring her. She attacks it. It is like mirroring her movement. She tries to get out. It looks like it's gonna like encompass her, like move over her. Is that what was happening? Like absorb her?
I think it was just like pushing against her.
It was just pushing against her. I didn't know if it was like, ugh, like, stay away from her eyeballs, please. and then they both fall over. She gets her head smacked pretty bad. And then they get up and they are mirroring each other's, it's mirroring her movement. Not perfectly, but pretty closely. And it's crazy. The music is crazy. The lighting is crazy. It is one of the most craziest things I have ever seen. Just watch the movie. I don't know how to tell you about this.
You've literally spent like minutes explaining the movie, and we get to this point, you're like, you know what? Just watch the movie.
I'm gonna do my best. I'll keep doing my best.
It's a ballet between yourself.
Yeah. Okay. And she reaches down into real husband's charred hand and pulls out the grenade, which still somehow is going to work again.
Wild, wild sentence that has never been said before.
And she has a phosphorus grenade, and she has it in her hand. And when their hands touch, her hand touches the shimmer person's hand. It starts turning into flesh, and then, like, horrible shot of, like, a face coming through the thing. So it looks like she's, like, burn victim Natalie Portman, and then it, like, morphs into her face. So they're turning, she's turning into... It's turning into her. And then she is mirroring it, and then she pulls the pin, and then she books it, and then the thing doesn't notice. I think it's too, it's like, I think it's like trying to learn how to be her, I guess. It was like stuck. It felt like it was buffering. That's how it felt. The thing blows up. And then Natalie Portman is able to run out, and there's another crazy shot of Natalie Portman's face, like fucked up, like on fire. This thing is on fire. It lights up. It touches Oscar Isaac's charred corpse. That lights on fire. The whole lighthouse lights on fire. It's crazy. Natalie Portman is on the beach looking at it on fire. And then we cut back, right, to the interrogation room. The whole thing lights up. It's crazy. It is. I can't explain it to you better than that.
You see the trees.
Yeah, the trees. Yeah,
you pretty much assume that anything that was touched by the shimmer is now burning.
I didn't assume that. I was like, oh, the lighthouse is gone. But we find out back in the interrogation chamber, the guy asks, why did you make it out? She's like, what do you mean, why did I make it out? Like, I had to come back. And what else is... Oh, he's like, so it was an alien. What did it want? She's like, I don't think it wanted anything. Again, she says the same thing that she said before. And he's like, well, it came here to... it was destroying the people. And she's like, no, it wasn't destroying. It was changing. And then she has a full tattoo. Now she's her full same tattoo, and she learns that Oscar Isaac Doppelhusband has woken up, because once the shimmer was destroyed, all of his shit got better. And they are in the same bubble, so they zip them basically into the same medical bubble. And she looks at him and she says, you're not Kane. And he says, are you Lena? Right. And she, like, chokes up, and then he gets up and hugs her. And you see his eyeballs flare with the color, and then you see hers. The end of the movie! Annihilation!
And we got annihilated.
Oh, God.
You did great, Jamie. You really summarized the movie.
I think I did. I think I did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
I think I did. It's a very complicated movie.
Alex Garland, if you're listening to this, reach out. Let us know how well we summarized your movie.
Tell me everything, Eric. All right.
Yeah, I got facts on facts on facts, and then we can get into opinions. Yeah. So, this movie was made between $40 to $55 million.
That makes sense.
Which is a very wide range of pricing.
Yeah.
It made...
a bunch of money.
$43.1
million. Whoa! No money! It flopped!
Yeah.
Why?
Fun facts about this movie. So, there's actually a lot going on behind the scenes. Pretty much, the studio did a test screening of this movie. It didn't test screen that well, which, I mean, a movie like this wouldn't. Studio got panicky, and they're like, all right, we need to cut some stuff. We need to reshoot some stuff. And Alex Garland was like, no. And then his producer was like, no. Luckily, his producer had final cut on the movie.
Good.
So he said, no, we're not going to cut this movie. We're not
gonna. And then the end is like, Natalie Portman's like, I'm a badass and I see the world. And then like everything
and she rides out of the bear. All the gators come out.
That's like the twat. We kept... What was it? Oh, they like find a gun at one point, and I'm like, that gun is going to either shoot out cancer or gators. So, like, don't touch anything that's been here.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so, and something interesting that I forgot about what happened with this release was that eventually the studio kind of wanted to dump it. So what happened was that they released the movie in theaters in America and a few other countries, but international markets were just don't put it on Netflix 17 days later.
What?
So, this was, like, unheard of. Like, this is, again, before streaming has become...
Yeah.
Even streaming now, it's still kind of taboo for, like, Wonder Woman to come out on streaming directly.
And we had no other choice.
Yeah. And it's still rough for people. So, yeah, for this, they just like, all right, we're just going to dump it. So they kind of just dumped the movie. And this was such a, like, just, like, a pain for Alex Garland. He was like, I'm done with movies after this. And then he went off and made a TV show called Devs. That is really good.
Oh, wait. With Ron Swanson.
Yeah. Who's great in it.
Like, wait, I should watch that. I didn't put that together.
Mm-hmm.
Is that on Netflix?
It's on Hulu, I think.
Oh, shit.
I would recommend Devs. I like Devs.
Yeah. You were gonna warn me about something. What were you going to say?
It's, well, similar vibes to that. It's not, you know, body horror, but it's like technological stuff. Watch Ex Machina and then you'll get a better, I think, understanding. So yeah, he went off and did that. But just, like, I think a day or two ago, announced that now Alex Garland's going to be doing a movie with A24.
Ooh.
Which is like when you think, I guess even 2018, A24 was around, but I don't know.
It's not just, like they are now.
It's weird how quickly they've blown up.
It was like in the last year, I feel like.
With, like, I think credit, like, Midsommar and The Lighthouse really just kind of...
I think so. I think, like, they were on... Like, Hereditary was the tipping point, but then now they're, like, a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're branding, marketing.
Yeah.
So now we'll see what that turns out to be. But that's a perfect studio for a director like this.
Absolutely.
I
am so relieved that this movie exists the way it does. That they didn't fuck it up.
Yeah, there's a few things I have a problem with it, but we'll get into that. When they showed it to the test screen audience, they were like, the studio said it was going to be too complicated and too intellectual for general audiences.
Correct.
Which, I mean, it is like a thinker of a movie. It's a lot. And it's not like...
This is not a fun movie, and it's not a casual watch. It is not a movie for general audiences.
But Alex Garland...
Like, a movie for people with podcasts.
Thank you. Yes, truly.
It's for us.
Because he's like pulling from... He's putting that book in there, and then he's just pulling all this information that he has, which is cool that people can do that. And what he also did with the alien design, he was talking about how he wanted to make the alien alien. Like, its motivations are alien to us. Its design needs to be alien to us. Because he kind of broke down how each alien, like humans and how other creatures are designed for what their purpose is. So he did bring up like the movie Alien, and it's like, all right, that thing is designed to kill. So how do you make a thing that looks like it's just purely to kill? And then you come up with the xenomorph. For this one, since it is so complex and molecular, they actually used 3D manifestation of the mantibulb formula or equation. It's like a fractal equation that they like plug into, and then like the computer,
bunch of fucking nerds,
fucking forms it. And it's like these like infinitely complex naturally occurring fractal object.
So what image did we see that was that?
That is the alien, the bulb alien. The one with like the hole and all the stuff.
Oh, the one that scared me.
Yes.
Oh, the bad one. Yes.
So, yes. So oh, that that's one. Everything you saw, everything moving. That is because
that exists.
The formula.
Oh, it's not that exists. It's fucking math.
It's just your worst nightmare.
My that's worst like, scary. Enemy.
You're
math.
Like, oh, that everywhere.
My lizard brain was like, you hate that.
But like, what the fuck is like? What is like? How do you like? Oh, there's like. Okay, first off, before this movie or before Alex Garland, there were some nerds who were like, let's manifest a formula or equation, and then somehow an equation forms.
We're not
that.
Smart enough for this.
No, and that's where I'll end. That's great. Where I just want to put that out there because it's awesome and it's bizarre and it's wild.
Well,
and...
I'll say something. That was the best choice that could have been because I was filled with immense dread. I was like, don't like it. Looked like when you can see like dust motes pulling. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's like those science things. You can see them at the science museum.
I do know. Where
you like pull and then it like stacks and it looks kind of like stalactites.
Yes.
This thing looked like that, and it looked like mold, and it looked like light.
Mm.
And I hated it. And it looked like fungus, and it looked like a tumor all at once.
That's, I mean.
Didn't like that.
Sorry that you didn't like it, but that's cool that like that design. Because to me, it's like, oh, that's weird looking. I didn't think that it actually had the ability to
Dad works. Yeah,
but the school's another.
I'm built different. Yeah. I'm built scared. So what is? What do you have beef with?
The framing device. I don't like how it kept on cutting to Natalie Portman during the movie in the chambers.
I also didn't like that
because they never added to it. It's just like stating what just happened, and it felt like a studio note, as if like a studio was just like, "Well, now you gotta explain what just happened."
I think that was it.
But then the producer and Alex Garland had final cut.
Well, I mean, maybe they just left it in to try, like, appease them. I wonder if that was in the original script.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I think, I didn't know what you were going to say, but I agree with that. I think that knowing that the crew dies sucked. I mean, you can assume, but I still was like, okay, bye.
That's why Shakespeare's a hack in the beginning of Romeo and Juliet. It's just like, they died. I'm like, good, done.
They're fucked. Yeah, I agree, actually. I think that should have moved it along more, and it did not. Okay. What else? Anything else?
That's it. I mean, from part of that, it goes into our statements of what do you do with this holy original thing that is so much one person's vision. Like,
I am really glad this movie exists. I think this movie is exceptional. I don't want to watch this movie ever again.
Mm.
I really don't. How do you criticize this movie? Like, that's how do you take, you know, you can't take anything out of it. I think, so you were saying, like, each of the women go into it with, like, it's, like, about their growth and stuff. I feel like it was a little heavy-handed that it's like, oh, well, she used to be an addict, and she did this, and blah, 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 you know what I mean? And I know that, like, well-adjusted people would not go on this mission, but it still felt a little bit like, oh, she was trying to feel alive, but then she gives up and kills herself, like the suicidal one, you know, or not. Mm. Like the one who self-harms, like, ends up giving up and becoming something else. And I don't know, I just was like, it didn't sit super... Some part of that felt a little bit heavy-handed to me, but I wonder how much of it is the book and how much of it is the movie.
I think it might be mostly the movie.
You think?
From what I've read about the book, because the book is so wildly different, and we don't even have time to go over.
Yeah, I'll do my own reading.
but I think one of the key words or sentences or things that they talked about in it was self-destruction.
Yeah,
and so it's like
that's what they talked about in the tower when they're in the guard tower.
Yeah. So it's just like it's just constantly reiterating that exact same point, and it's to the point of what the movie's called is Annihilation, where it's just like all these people go in there. Of course, you wouldn't be a stable, self-adjusted person into there. But of course, the movie's like, all right, we're about self-destruction, so we need to figure out. And they could have probably developed that over the course of the movie instead of just being in a canoe.
Yeah, literally in a canoe. They're like, trauma. What's your trauma?
Seems like this movie kind of like, it not only like refracts and kind of morphs the person, but also kind of enhances what their self-destruction tendencies may be. I guess.
It doesn't actually, though.
Yeah, now I'm saying.
Except for Tessa Thompson's character.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess.
But even then, because it's like, would you consider what she did? Because like, it's like, because she self-harmed to like feel alive. But in the end, she just kind of became acceptance to what other life is. Became larger than her own life to feel alive, you know?
Yeah, I guess. It's just that feels like even that. The way you said it is a good explanation, but I'm just like, boo! Right. I'm just like, I don't know. It feels a little, for such a smart, it feels like a little bit like the framing device. It's like, we get it. Mm-hmm. You know, I would have got it. But I guess, I don't know. I understand why they made that choice, but I didn't love it.
I think that might be, now I'm thinking about his other work too, I think that might be he almost can't like help himself from explaining what he is doing.
Really? That's interesting. Because it's it's his Achilles heel.
Yeah, but I think that's what makes him a little bit more accessible. Because if you take like a movie like this or Ex Machina and you kind of remove that exposition, I do think this movie has too much exposition in it. But I think if you remove that, it becomes a lot more A24-y, a little bit more art house, a little bit more like...
Oh, am I turning into a douchebag?
No.
Yes, I am!
No, but I get what you're saying. A lot of people have had the same gripes that like we've had about this stuff. But like, I think it is true. I think
was not pretentious enough. It was too accessible.
but it's just like he can't help himself but explain what he is doing, which is fine because then that allows these movies to be a little bit more like understandable.
Yeah.
Because if he didn't have that, this movie would still be good. It's still, you could understand it eventually, but it takes like that extra little bit. And for me, the ending already takes so much mind power for me just to understand what's going on. I'm glad there's some sort of explanation.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, and I also have had time. I read other people's analysis of this movie. So it was, I didn't like remember it super well. But when stuff happened, I was like, oh, I know what this is. I know what this is a little bit. Do we think, so we think that the Shimmer's out there now.
No.
What do you think? Those two?
Yeah, the Shimmer exists with it. They are now like a part of the Shimmer. Because even though Natalie Portman destroyed the source of it, she has already been mutated into a part of it. So it exists within her.
Was the person that left, was that Natalie Portman? That was Lena.
Yes.
But that's why she couldn't answer the question. But it's not like the Oscar Isaac situation.
Right.
Because if that Shimmer doppelganger had time to like turn into her, they would have like traveled together maybe, so that would have been her. So if that thing hadn't been lit on fire and had escaped, then they would be two doubles.
Yeah,
but they're not. It's the original, but she's fucked up now. And then the double. Okay, so I thought when she burned it, it was like released. That's what I thought. I was like, we're done. We're boned. Right. Like, it's everywhere. I thought.
It's the Return of the Living Dead situation.
Yeah. Well, I might not be wrong about that. What do you think? Is that a theory?
I haven't seen that theory, but it could be.
I'm thinking of...
New theory time. Here we go. Let's go.
I'm thinking of Life. Have you seen Life?
I know. Is that the one?
It's like a spiritual member of the Alien franchise. I saw... My cousin was watching it, and it was... awful. The ending is awful.
Isn't it like they're in like the thing gets to the Earth, right?
Yes. Yeah. They are in two
spoilers
separate...
for Life, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, no. Jake Gyllenhaal is supposed to be shot into space with the spores. He sacrifices himself and then the one woman escapes, but the pods get switched. So the woman who is alive gets shot into space to die.
Ooh,
and then he gets shot back into Earth and the thing is like covering him. It's like an alien when the thing is like enveloped him and then they open up the pod. He's like, don't open it up. And then someone opens it up and then it's like, oh, it's on Earth. It's over. And that is the worst ending I can think of. But that is what I thought was happening here. But I'm glad to be wrong. So what happens then?
That's the question.
Then what?
Does it continue to multiply?
It'll morph into the other people.
Will it?
Maybe.
Or did it achieve its goal by becoming human?
It's probably first of all, they're probably never going to let them out of that bubble, so.
That's true.
Weird. Are there any themes that we haven't talked about? Here? This is a thinker, but I don't want to think about it. So tell me about that and I'll just think about it that way.
I have a word for you that I don't think you picked up on at all, of course, because this movie, why would you pick it up? A cancer. Did you get
the food? It was, you know, I am so observant and good at watching movies. I think I picked that up.
Really?
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit of the cancer?
Maybe.
Was it when they first mentioned the cancer or when the character had cancer?
Or when she's like a biologist who studies cancer.
Yeah, okay. Cancer. But it's like, again, it's the themes of like, I think it's like that Lovecraftian inevitability, which I kind of like. I liked how it's like this theme that's expanding slowly, which is very ominous and interesting. And just that helplessness and hopelessness. Because even though Natalie defeats the alien in the end, she's still, it's like too late for her. She still has become part of it.
I feel like, that's just so grim. I don't know how people who have cancer deal with that. Like, how do you deal with that? I don't know. Just like your body mutating and fighting against you. Like, that's like the worst thing, I think. Yeah. Maybe not the worst, but it's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad.
And people find ways.
Jeez. Okay. What else besides cancer?
That's it. Destruction. Yeah.
What do you think about the movie being all ladies?
That's cool.
That's how I feel. It was cool. They kicked ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were great.
Yeah, the writer was talking about it in the behind the scenes, and he was just like, because in the books, they don't even have names. They're just denoted by their profession. It's like the biologist, the psychiatrist.
Are they women?
They're all women, yeah.
Okay.
And so he was like, he said he was partially conscious about how that just doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And so he was like, and then he was just kind of playing around with it. He's like, why not? and then just kind of went with it. So that was as far as like the thought process went for him.
I thought this movie was going to be like a sci-fi existential thinker movie with hot ladies. This is what I thought this movie was. And I was like, I am on board for that. I was right about all those things, except for the horror element. I didn't know it was also a horror movie. So I was like so on board for this movie coming out. I was like, fuck yeah, it's going to be so good. And I was like, I can't watch it. Actually, so then I was
then
like,
"You did,"
and then I did. I really so this movie, like, I'm not great. As I have stated, I'm built different, and by that I mean my brain really cannot hang on to some of the concepts presented here. If I think about them too much, I'm going to try really hard not to think anymore about some of the what the images mean, or like the idea of something like moving inside of you, like that is the best example of like an intrusive thought I can think of. So if you are not, I don't know, if you're like sensitive or like easily triggered, this is not what I would watch. I don't think I'll put that warning up front or somewhere else.
We went hard with this one for the beginning.
We really did. Yeah. It was pretty unpleasant. It was pretty triggering throughout. It was beautiful. It was beautifully shot. The sound design was beautiful. It's a good ass movie. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I watched it, but I don't think I'm going to return to it.
Well, speaking of returning to things.
Uh-oh.
This was your first body horror movie.
Yeah.
And I want to get your thoughts on, it has strong body horror elements.
It does indeed.
I would say that one segment with the intestines is like peak body horror. And then from there.
I thought it was like a worm. I didn't think it was his intestines until they're like, oh, it's his intestines. I was like, oh! Yeah.
Which is cool. Actually, how they did it is like that was partially practical. They had somebody behind the wall and they were literally just pulling.
Gross. I think I could have, I don't know, tried to like jump in here a little bit more, but I mentally kind of put a wall up. So I was like, I cannot open my brain up to these concepts anymore. Like the idea of something like, I don't know, I mean, just something like changing your body is body horror.
Yeah.
One, and it's bad. It's a bad idea. And there's a reason why it's a bad idea. It's because that's bad for you. And all of humankind has evolved for us to watch this movie and not want to have those things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I feel a little bit squicked out, but not existentially tormented.
All right.
How about that?
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good. I think I was more, I was not, I hate like sad couple tragic stuff happening. It was sad in the beginning. You know, I don't know. I don't like thinking about stuff like that at all, or like something, well, I mean, this sounds stupid saying it out loud, but like something beyond your control, like that tragic or crazy happening, like
That's why we will never watch The Fly on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. not something I like thinking about. And this movie was chock-a-block full of things I don't like thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
What stuck with you? What was sticky about this movie with you? That you were just like, that you were delighted but also not pleased by?
I mean,
besides all of it.
All of it. Yeah. Well, the whole thing. Like the visual elements to it. I just like love how it constantly has a presence. Like the second they go into the bubble. I mean, you said it was like a video game. But like there's like constantly.
It did look like a video. There's like a lens flare a lot. It was beautiful.
And there's just constantly like this like light effect. And it's like very prominent in some points and very like subtle in other points. Mm-hmm. And like the thoughts that go into it of how they're presenting these ideas throughout it. And like the level of threat that evolves with it, because at first you're like, oh, it's a shark alligator, all right, and then like that sets up in your mind like, okay, crazy shit can happen in here. It's like, what crazy shit can happen? Human bear thing, that's not what I was thinking of.
The
and that's
worst
horrible.
Possible thing. Yeah
And just like that whole end sequence is so beautiful, like because the music, like we've stated throughout, is just like a guitar. It's like Last of Us soundtrack, and then all of a sudden like this like magnificent distorted weird score blasts in here. And there's just like this whole, that whole end sequence where it's just like a, like this like dance and it's just completely silent. It's their
crazy
entire climax.
So weird.
So
those are, what about, cause you're not like a body horror fan.
No, this movie is a wild was a little bit better because I like, it's mostly like creature feature stuff. You know, it's like spooky bear, spooky alligator, but like, I don't like. I think you're tapping on a fear that I also have, which is like things happening to your body that are out of your control. To like know that like something is morphing or like distorting
absolutely.
You, which is very tied into body horror. And also body horror, I mean, a lot of it's the physical stuff that you're talking about, but a lot of the themes in this movie too tie into that genre of the, again, like the inevitability of it, and like you're out of control, and like usually tying in some sort of, it's like a manifestation of some sort of relationship.
Yeah,
that you might have. The thing is just a bunch of dudes who are untrusting each other. Luckily, it's not a romance. So that stuff, I like, it just, it grosses me out, but I'm like not a fan of looking at it.
Yeah. But the idea behind it is like, I wonder why do we enjoy it?
Enjoy body
horror? Watching someone, I guess it's the controlled experiment thing. Cause it's like watching someone lose control. Like the scariest thing that can happen to you as a person, I feel like, is losing control of yourself in that way. Like physically.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, not the scariest thing, but it's pretty bad. Like, it's like literally our lizard brains have evolved to take us here to be like, no, that's bad. We don't want that. But I guess watching it happen in a movie is a way to, you know, explore that concept and just like sit with it for a little bit in a way that is not like directly applied to you. So
100%.
Yeah.
I think it's the curiosity of human minds to see what can happen or what could cause something like that. It's us liking horror, which you've talked about, like why people want to be scared.
Yeah.
And also it's escapism. Like I was actually like kind of looking forward to this movie this week because I'm like, this week kind of sucked. I kind of just want to like watch this miserable movie.
I would describe this movie as miserable.
Yeah.
I would.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This movie is like, I'm trying to figure out how to say what I want to say. So I think it's not as scary to me as like slashers when the threat is a scary man, because I don't see this, you know, it's more removed. It's like more fantastical and it's like objectively worse. This, all of the things that happen to everyone in this movie are worse than being stabbed. I will say, I will go out on a limb, except turning into a plant person. That seemed fine.
Who would have thought? pro gator too. Jamie was talking about how much
I love gators. No, we already knew that. I already knew that. but yeah, I am like, I don't know. It's less. I don't know. It's still like really existentially scary, but it's less like realistic. So I'm like, meh. But I think that's just my logical brain.
Good.
I'm going to keep a hold on to that.
Yeah.
Boop.
It would really suck if you were like, oh, no, I believe in aliens and this is going to happen.
Oh, my God. No. Dang. Anything else to say about Annihilation?
Yeah. What would you rate it on the Scarrow meter?
Oh, my God. I forgot. Oh, God. I don't know. Yeah. I think this movie sits at like a 4. It's scary.
Yeah.
It's scary. If you're scared by gore, we got some of that. Body horror, not great.
Monsters.
Yeah. Not something I'm scared by, but...
An Oscar Isaac that doesn't show you affection?
No! I would give it... Yeah, I'd give it a 4. I think it sits solidly at a 4.
Great way to start the year, huh?
Yeah.
Only up from here, right, Jamie?
I think this is a good start. It's a sci-fi horror movie, as Alien was our first.
Yeah.
So that's good. This is on my brain season 2. Maybe I'll label it as such.
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah. Well, I would give it 5 out of 5 cells, but then those cells split.
Start multiplying.
So it's 10 out of 10 cells. Oh my god,
no, but now it's 20 out of 20. Oh no!
Oh no!
And that's the end of our episode. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure to subscribe and review us, and follow us on Instagram at horoscopepod with 1D, and at Twitter at horoscopepod with 2Ds. Your horoscope for the day is...
It's time for some self-discovery. Take the time to open yourself up and see what's inside.
We will be back.
Ooh.
Did that just break?
It's fine.
All right, is it broken?
Oh, yeah.
A spring.
Oh, yeah.
Oh no!
Fat ass. Oh. My cargo shorts, Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman, dumb jackass. Oh, no.